rebuilding when a relationship ends, and so what about the children? Before we begin, one thought that occurs to me as we examine the impact and response of children is a question. Were you a child whose parents separated? I was, and now, nearing 60 years of age, a major part of my journey has been to release myself from the parentified child position. Let me outline what the parentified child means. Children enter the world with countless needs. Until they're old enough to take care of themselves, children are supposed to be relatively free from the demands and concerns of the adult world. Ideally, a child's parents place their children's emotional, physical, and developmental needs before their own. But when a parent has not been parented well themselves, the combination of unaddressed needs and parental power often lead to an unfortunate consequence for their own child, a type of role reversal called parentification. Parentification is responsible for causing many mental health issues such as depression, anxiety, low self-esteem, and workaholism in the adults who experienced it as children. There are two kinds of parentification. Emotional parentification. Here, the child is expected to take care of and fulfill the emotional needs of the adult parent. Some examples of the emotional parentification are reassuring the parent that they will be all right when they're upset, shielding the parent from the emotional consequences of their actions, and adjusting behavior to suit the parent's emotional interests. And then we have instrumental parentification. The child is expected to take care of physical needs, such as housework, care of younger siblings, and management of parental affairs. The effects and consequences of parentification are profound. Parentified children must continually struggle to meet needs they're not able to fulfill, and consequently, they develop deep-seated feelings of inadequacy. The pressure of having to constantly meet unrealistic demands instills a sense of hopelessness in the child, that they will never be able to handle the challenges life presents to them. Adults parentified as children experience the following things: a fear that they cannot adequately meet their own expectations and demands, poor self-esteem, a feeling of disconnection from their real self, feelings of incompetence, underestimation of their own intelligence, overestimation of the importance of others, shame, guilt, anxiety, and depression, feelings like they're still children who can't cope with being adults, taking on the role of caretaker, an addiction to work, and finally, codependency, acceptance of too much responsibility. Now we're going to go through the different modules, and the first is recovery, that we've been working on. And the first stage, you'll recall, is denial. This could not happen to me. There are three areas relating to children of separated parents that cause problems for those children. Number one is that children will continue to maintain some sort of fantasy images of their parents getting back together again, with much emotional investment in that dream. They have difficulty accepting the reality that their parents' relationship is over, and it may be a surprise to learn how strong this fantasy is within your children. You continually need to be present for them, with the reality that the relationship is over, so they do not continue to invest in this fantasy. However, children may use all kinds of manipulative behavior to try and get the two of you back together again, trying to have you spend time together, or trying to get you to talk to each other. Be aware of the large emotional investment your children have in not accepting the ending of your relationship, and in hoping that their parents will get back together again. Respond firmly but gently and persistently with your own decision that the relationship is over. Another second aspect with children is self-acceptance and that's their belief that they did something wrong to cause your relationship to break up. The last time they disobeyed, when they did not go to bed, or clear up their food at mealtime, or do some household tasks you'd set them. They think that this led to their parents fighting and relationship ending. Try hard to help your children see that it is not their fault, and that the relationship breakdown is a grown-up problem. And finally, a third aspect has to do with the fear that now they have lost one parent, will they lose the other parent? They tend to be very clinging and dependent upon the parents, and they need a lot of reassurance at this time that you will not leave them. Parents do leave each other, but they do not leave their children. Stage 2. Loneliness to aloneness. As we explore in our one-to-one sessions, it is natural to feel extreme loneliness when your relationship ends, but healing can come from that pain if you listen to it. You can learn how to grow through loneliness to the stage of aloneness, where you feel comfortable being by yourself. Naturally, children suffer loneliness too after their parents separate. They have the same kind of empty feelings inside them that their parents are feeling. They have the same need to be with others to fill up that loneliness, but naturally, they also fear being close to others. Children may feel that they are the only child in the school whose parents have separated. The parents of other children may also judge your child by what you have done. Daily living habits are altered, just as those of the parents are. Instead of coming home and having two parents to spend time with, to play, to put them to bed, there is only one parent, and the children feel the loneliness of the new house when one or both parents move. At the home of the non-custodial parent, there may not be familiar toys or books to play with. Often, the other parent's home is not set up for children, and may be located in a new neighbourhood away from the familiar friends and faces. The children need to work through their loneliness, just as the parents have to, in order to develop their own healthy feelings of aloneness. Children need to learn that they have the resources within themselves to spend time alone without having to have another person around. Many children may have been lonely before the ending of their parents' relationship, because the interaction within the family did not help them to feel that they belonged. When the relationship ends, it tends to increase this feeling of not belonging or not being okay. However, perhaps the crisis itself can be used to help to deal directly with such a problem, and it is a special time for parents to help the children feel that they belong, that they are loved, and that they are an important part of this new family, whether it be a single-parent family or a two-parent family with the parents living apart. However, as with all of the rebuilding stages, when the parents are dealing with their own loneliness, it is very, very difficult for them to have enough emotional time and energy left to devote to their children's needs. It may be necessary, as I mentioned in our work together, for parents to work through their own rebuilding stages first, and then they will be better able to help their children. Stage 3. Guilt versus rejection. As we have explored in our one-to-one sessions, in the ending of your relationship, dumpers end the relationship, while dumpees have it ended for them. The adjustment process differs, since dumpers feel more guilt and dumpees feel more rejection. Dumpers start their adjustment while still in the relationship, but dumpees start adjusting later. For the mutuals, people who decide jointly to end the relationship, the adjustment process is somewhat easier. Often the children are very angry at the parent who decided to leave, and they have a great deal of difficulty maintaining a relationship with that person. They blame the breakup on the dumper, so they take out their pain and frustration on that person, because they probably fail to see not that much difference between the dumper and the dumpee, since both of them contributed to the ending of the relationship, but obviously in different ways. Almost always the children could be looked upon as dumpees, in that they had little to do with the decision, and therefore feel the same frustration and anger that dumpees do. Children, however, are not like dumpees, in the sense that they often recognize that the relationship is ending before the parents do. Children have a definite problem with rejection and guilt, in that they may feel responsible for their parents' relationship not working out, and so they are going to need help in seeing that it is not their fault, and it is an issue between two adults. Children need to realize that they are not guilty for their parents' separation, and they are not being rejected as well. If the parents can maintain a quality relationship with the children after their separation, the children will be able to deal with these feelings themselves. Stage 4. Grief. Children must grieve an all-important loss, although sometimes it's difficult for parents to let them do the grieving they need to. We see them start to cry because they miss their non-custodial parent, and we want to take away that pain and reassure them. Now, don't cry, it's okay. They will be back, and you will get to see them in the future. However, reassurance isn't necessarily what children need, because what they need is some sort of acceptance, such as, you are feeling very sad, and you're missing your father. You feel very sad living away from your father, who you love so much. It is easy for us to get our own emotions and guilt involved, instead of allowing the child to express his or her feelings and emotions. Children tend to cry and grieve more naturally than adults until we take away the permission for them to do this and start interfering in the process, because we are fearful that if they cry, then so will we. The same may be true with the anger part of grief. The child may be very angry about being separated from a parent and having to go through the associated lifestyle changes. When children start expressing their anger, adults often try to take that anger away by saying, "Well, you just need to grow up and understand, and someday you'll see that what we did was normal, natural, and healthy." No, allow the children to just be angry, and so a good response to enable them is to say, "You feel very angry towards your father for no longer being here with us." Children will go through the 5 stages of grief we've been working through in our own sessions together. They will start out by denying that their parents are separated and believing the parents will get back together again. As they proceed through the stages of anger, bargaining, and so on, children need to be allowed to work through all 5 stages of grief. The exercises we talked through, as well as the checklist I provided before our session on grieving, may also be helpful for older children to explore. Obviously, there is a difference in the children's loss, because parents do not separate from their children, and the relationship between parent and child will persist, even though, as in many cases, the child does not see the non-custodial parent in the early stages of the relationship ending. As with all other feelings, a parent who shows the child how to grieve is far more influential than the parent who tells children about grieving. Children will emulate a grieving parent and will gain much, much more from experiencing that healthy and much-needed release. Stage 5. Anger. I remember the daughter of one parent who had ended their relationship becoming uncontrollably angry at her father in the swimming pool one day. The anger was far stronger than the situation warranted, and was apparently a direct result of a feeling of abandonment for which she blamed her father. It is very easy for separated parents not to allow their children to be angry. The custodian of the child will many times try to establish a good relationship between their children and their former partner, even though the partner has not kept appointments and appears to be involved in something other than the children. They may try to help the children accept the situation without being angry, but it is appropriate for children to be angry, at the parent who has let them down. It is also easy for us to withdraw love when our children express anger, because we may be so emotionally upset ourselves that when children get angry, we immediately become unaccepting by saying, "Go to your room until you can learn to behave properly," where we really need to invest that extra energy to listen and to accept our children's anger. But also, we need to see that they express their anger appropriately and do not become aggressive, have temper tantrums, or break things. Allow children to express their anger in the same positive, constructive ways we've been exploring in our sessions. When they say that they are very angry at their parent for not coming to see them, just accept this and say, "I think it's right for you to feel angry in the situation." Many people learn that their emotional blocks for expressing anger through some interaction with their parents. Many being punished for being angry, or not allowed to even be angry, or were sent to their rooms, or had feelings of rejection and loss of love. It is far better for children to learn that anger is a part of being human, and that it is okay to express anger in a positive way. Stage 6. Letting go. Children have to deal with letting go of the old concept of the two-parent family. Suddenly, it is a one-parent family, with a custodial and non-custodial parent. Even if there's joint custody, the children have to deal with different lifestyles, and it is hoped that children will not have to let go of a quality relationship with both parents. The child may have difficulty, however, in dealing with the parent's ability to let go or not to let go, and this may become an important rebuilding block for children if they continually hear from one parent about all the good or bad things the other parent is doing. If the parents have not let go of the relationship, the children tend to get caught in either the positive or the negative feelings between the parents, and this will prolong the adjustment process for the children. Module 2 on the process of adjustment and self-concept. The ending of their parents' relationship can be very damaging to children's self-concept. Suddenly life has been uprooted, and they can feel rejected, lonely, alienated, and perhaps guilty by questioning what they did wrong to contribute to their parents' separation. Here the children's adjustment process may be complicated if they are also going through certain growth stages which are of themselves threatening to self-concept. As a prime example, there is evidence from developmental psychology that the teenage years are the most difficult years in growth and development. Puberty means dramatic changes in the body, height, weight, sexual characteristics, body hair, and voice. Suddenly, identity, or who they thought they were, is also changing. They are experiencing new attitudes and feelings, such as sexual attraction, and relationships with peers have become much more important than their parental relationships. This rapid period of change is a real strain on a teenager's self-concept. So, if youngsters are going through extreme changes in themselves at the time of the parents' separation, the children's self-concepts are more likely to be affected. Going through exercises that we went through in our sessions related to this part of the rebuilding process may be useful to share with your children. In fact, doing the exercises together is a good way of increasing family communication. Stage 8. Friendships. Children have a problem with friendships, often feeling isolated and different, as if they were the only children to have parents who were separated. They may not know anybody else whose parents are separated, partly because children do not often talk about their parents' separation, as it is still a stigma in many communities. Just as the parents tend to become friends with only others who have been separated, then so do children begin to seek out friends with families with single parents. And again, children may withdraw just as parents withdraw and shut out all friendships. Children who are going through the pain of their parents separating really need friends to talk to, but they find it difficult to seek them out or to discuss their personal concerns. Parents can help their children to find somebody to talk to, and maybe it is the time for relatives to get involved. However, relatives who are highly emotional and who may have unresolved concerns themselves are not good people for children to talk to at this point in time. We need to be aware and supportive of the needs of children as they are going through this process. Stage 9. Leftovers. Children will have difficulty with the leftovers in similar ways to their parents. The children's style of interactions with others is based on only a few years of life experience and a limited repertoire of behaviours. A strong influence right now is the feeling of internal pain. So, until the child changes, he or she will continue to interact with adults as before. If a new step-parent comes into the picture, for example, the child will tend to have the same problems with the step-parent as he/she had with his or her natural parent. This will not change until the child works through those old emotions and learns new ways of relating to adults. Stage 10. Love. While everyone is concerned about what love is, children may feel somewhat unlovable because one parent has left. Many suffer from the fear of losing the other parent as well. At the very time when children need a great deal of parental love, parents are undergoing their own trauma and often are incapable of giving as much love to their children as they would like to. Awareness of this problem and special efforts to overcome it is the key, especially with as much honest conversation with youngsters about what is going on and reassurance that they are much loved by both parents are much needed at this critical period in time. Module 3, The Future, and Stage 11, Trust. The problem of trust is especially difficult for those children who did not know what was going on with their parents' separation. So the children are now adjusting to a parent's absence with little or no direct communication with the parent who has left the family home. If the father, for example, suddenly leaves the family and does not communicate why he is leaving or the problems that the parents are having, the child may feel deserted and have trouble trusting that absent non-custodial parent. Children really are tougher than we think and can handle an awful lot of direct communication and reality if parents just take the time to communicate with them. Parents who hide their heads and feel that they cannot share the reality of their situation with their children often create a great deal of mistrust in that child and loss of potential valuable source of love and support for themselves. It is very unusual for an older child who does not know that the parents are going to end their relationship, as I mentioned earlier, before the parents tell them. The more you can communicate and be honest with your children, the more they will trust you and what you have to say, both now and also in the future. Stage 12, and sexuality. When their parents' relationship ends, where do children find role models for relationships and becoming an adult? It is often confusing for children to see their parents get involved in another relationship. Somehow, children sense that it may include sex, and if the parents are in the high sex drive phase and sending out all of those sexual vibrations which accompany that stage, what do the children do with that? How do they handle this new behavior in their parents? Communication may sound like an old answer, but it is critically important at this point in time. When parents talk with their children frankly and openly about sexuality, it is very helpful for the children and the parents. Although there is much anxiety and insecurity in the children's lives, that very turmoil can be at the beginning of learning. Children may well gain a far deeper understanding of sexuality, including their own, as their parents go through this stage of rebuilding. Children can find role models in relatives, grandparents, and their parents' friends. And as one teenager stated, "It seems that I've got more role models around now than I have had before." Stage 13, and responsibility. In our work together, we've discussed over and under responsible behaviour and how it was learned in childhood. What kind of behaviour are you teaching your children? If your children have not had first-hand exposure to adult relationships in the family interaction as they grow up, it will be difficult for them to do it in their own future relationships. One of the greatest things we can do for our children is to develop an increasingly adult relationship with them as they grow through life. Stage 14 and singleness. Singleness is an important rebuilding block for children too. They need to learn to be single, individual, and independent from their parents before they enter a committed relationship with another person. For children who can see and understand the importance of singleness, it will give them a much better chance to develop successful relationships in their future. Stage 15 and freedom. Children need to work their way through the rebuilding stages and to learn the freedom to be themselves, free from all the unhealthy needs that control so many people. They need to be free to choose a committed relationship, and quite frequently children whose parents parted say that they will not get involved with a future partner because they saw how devastating the ending of their parents' relationship was for them. Children need freedom of choice in what they will do with their lives, rather than to follow their parents' pattern. All children are not the same, nor do they have the same needs. The rebuilding stages are general outlines, and so remember that each human being is unique, and that it's as important for them as it is for adults, that they are respected and treated as such. Their differing needs depend on age, sex, cultural background, number of children in the family, health, availability of extended family and friends and neighbours, their physical environment, conditions at school, and the nature of their parents' breakup, as well as the individual personal characteristics of each child. But remember, children are much stronger than most adults believe, and can grow through the rebuilding process along with you.